Now, with the solar storm, William, EMP scenario, is what can we do in terms of insulating the grid? Can we do any of that?
Absolutely, yes. We could have been doing it all along. And there are several levels of preparedness on this. When I was a kid growing up in Jersey, you know, go outside in the morning and you'd see the little spider webs that the spiders would make in the lawn.
Yep.
And, of course, being a little boy, what did you do? I went and struck a match.
Oh.
Right? The destructiveness of an 8-year-old can be terrifying.
See, I would have gone to get a camera to take a picture of the beauty of that.
Well, I might have taken some photos of the event happening and then do some voiceover of it if video cameras were around then.
Yeah.
But that spider, if it survived the day, well, it had to spin another web. Well, suppose the spider had a dozen. Hey, if we're going to build webs in Fortune's backyard, let's fireproof a dozen threads. How much easier is the rebuild going to be? Infinitely easier.
Yeah.
We cannot, realistically, within the next decade, harden our entire system. But we can start laying out hardening of parts of the system, very crucial parts, that would significantly cut down the repair time. And at that conference I mentioned, the one in Niagara, back in the autumn, another report that just spooked everybody was an analysis of the top 400 generating systems in the eastern half of the United States. 80% would still be offline 4 years later. Reason why? Guess what? Who makes all the replacement parts?
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't make them anymore.
We don't make any of that.
So if we're dealing with a solar event, you're going to see a worldwide scramble to get the replacement parts, and then that turns into a military scenario. We do know replacement parts are being made in China. Are they gladly going to say, oh, gosh, our dear friends, we'll start shipping the stuff over to you tomorrow?
If there is a solar scenario, does anybody attack afterwards when a nation is crippled?
I think that's a given. That is an absolute given. If we look at any point in history where suddenly there was an acute shortage that became a life and death situation, it's take it from your neighbor.
Yeah.
So let us say, let's just say country X. I don't want to point at one country in particular at the moment, but we'll just say country X that has a rapid rebuild capability or has sufficiently hardened and has the spare parts. And we say, hey, we need some of those parts. And it's like, oh, yeah? Well, what's the price? You're into a war situation within a matter of days.
And there will be wars over water?
There already are. I mean, let's go back to the first books of the Bible. Yes, water supply, food, all of the fundamental things just to keep us alive for a matter of weeks or months become issues of war. They have been throughout the history of humanity. So how are we any different today?
Explain how the power grid functions in this country.
In post-EMP?
Yes.
When it is not just the generating plant, it is the incredibly elaborate relay system from going from your generating plant to switching on the light in my kitchen. If we go back 60, 80 years and look at how that was built and designed, I refer to them as Frankenstein switches. Remember in the old Frankenstein movie or young
Frankenstein? Big toggle switches, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Manually pulled switches and such. All that has become digitalized. All of that is now dependent on highly, highly delicate systems that, yes, are insulated to a certain degree, but not proof against a large EMP event. All of that has to be replaced. One of the very vulnerable parts are the hundreds of thousands of miles of high-tension lines because of their length. They have, remember, your ratio of area, of square footage area, is increased dramatically with the high-tension lines between relay shutoff systems. I saw some photos and video of a test on what would happen at your typical high-tension tower. The wires explode off of the ceramic insulators. So you got hundreds of thousands of miles of distribution system that are down as well in the United States. Going all the way back to your first switching coming out of your generating system. All of them are gone. So where do you start your rebuild process? So let's say we get the generator back online in a matter of a couple of days. Well, you still got to get the product, electricity, all the way out to where I'm sitting going, hey, guys, I need water now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and there's total chaos then.
I went through in the early 1990s when I was in grad school at Purdue. We were hit by a what they call the once-in-500-year event of an ice storm. And here I was in what was a fairly large metropolitan area, Lafayette, Indiana, with a large university. My house was down for 11 days. And thank goodness Purdue had its own generating system, so a lot of us wound up living on the campus. It was in the middle of the winter. It was cold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, the solar flares scenario, EMP scenario, it could happen in winter, summer, at any time.
Sure. I was doing an interview a while back with out of a station in Phoenix, and they're going, in today's forecast, we'll have a comfortable low of 85 and a high of 113. And when we got back online, I was like, guys, what happens if Phoenix loses air conditioning for 48 hours? How many people will die in the first 48 hours?
So you believe the scenario, military versus solar, do you think it's going to be the solar event as I do that happens first, or do you think it might be military action?
I can't make a prediction on that. Again, going back to the one report that I so often cite, asked me to do an analysis on military. Well, personally, Bill Portion here, Field, the probability is very high and rapidly increasing because of what Iran is doing. It could be very much a first strike against us at the same time that they decide to go at Israel. And by the way, the Israeli system is incredibly hardened against an EMP situation. They're perhaps one of the best prepared nations on the face of the earth. They have to be.
Yeah.
But asking about a solar scenario, well, I have a 17-year-old daughter. My God, it will happen. If not in my lifetime, definitely by the time she's 35 or 40.
There's no, the probability will tell you it will happen.
Absolutely. It's how many times are you going to roll the dice before you come up craps?
How long does it take that kind of a pulse to hit us from the sun?
There is the only good news I can give you this evening, sir, because thank goodness it travels slower than the speed of light. Much slower. And realize, this is going on with the sun literally all of the time. But we are a very small moving target, 93 million miles out, moving at such and such a rate around the sun. So we're like a little moving target in a shooting gallery.
This will have to be the perfect storm.
Right. And as you mentioned several years ago, we had a very close near miss of a major ejected mass. So sooner or later, this little pinball bouncing around out there is going to get hit square on by one.
I think that one went out the side of the sun. We weren't directly in front of it, but it would have been a disaster.
It crossed our orbital path, yes. Yeah.
It'll probably knock me off the air, won't it?
No more coast to coast. I'm sorry. Perhaps forever.
Well, don't say that, William. Jeez. Well, we do have generators.
Again, though, the distribution of product.
Who's going to hear me?
Right.
Yeah. And what about satellites? What happens to all of them if they get in the way?
Well,
we're very reliant on satellite systems.
And, of course, anybody putting a satellite up knows. Particularly when you're getting into higher orbits, Van Allen belt and beyond, they've got to be incredibly hardened to withstand solar activity. Now, I'm a subscriber to a satellite television system, and I can remember the event of about 5 or 6 years back where there was concern, could the entire satellite system be knocked out? Now, they have reserves and such, and there was talk about that they might very well shut down for several hours, essentially turn the system sideways, the satellite, so it doesn't have as large an exposed area. Many satellites would survive the situation, but what happens to the ground distribution system? So, okay, the signal can still go, but where is it going to go to?
Right.
You know, my HD and everybody's HD, but beyond that, all the other things we're dependent upon is gone.